You're listening to Rosie on the House.
Welcome, Arizona homeowners. Join us as we go around the side of the yard here. And it is the second Saturday of the month, and we're talking trees. And I could see far over in the distance in a hammock underneath his sweet acacia tree. He's lying up there. Kim's not letting him out. John's kind of under the weather, so he's sending his backups, the heavy hitters. We have Sarah Maitland, the plant health director. Do I have that correct?
Correct.
Plant health director. What does a plant health director do?
Well, mostly my division is in charge of trying to treat trees that are hurting, make them feel better. We have a really good diagnosis program, and we'll come in and do root collar excavations. We can diagnose insect infestations and or disease, and we do a lot of testing for that. And then we really like to work with fertilization programs to really encourage good environment, good soil, nutrients, and get the trees growing healthy and strong.
Well, thank you for joining us this Saturday morning. And you're joined by Mr. Rick Kober. Your official role is tree wizard. Did I get the correct?
That's what I am. I'm the tree wizard. Yeah.
Well, thanks, y'all, for being here with us this Saturday. If you have a tree question, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. We'll be talking about our talking tree calendars to do for the month of April. We'll talk about our tree of the month, which is an acacia. But before we get to that, we kind of got side-reeled by a very fascinating article Rosie found about trees, and it's called The Whispering of the Trees, from March's edition of the Smithsonian Magazine. And the article that it's about, or the gentleman in the article, has written a book, and our tree wizard, Mr. Rick, has read that book. So y'all take us through this a little bit. I haven't gotten completely through the article yet, but it's very fascinating.
I was just sitting there after my little allergy injection at the doctor's office, grabbed the Smithsonian, and started reading this article on whispering trees. And this man's concept that how much communication goes on between trees, both odoriferously and through the root system and the fungus that grows on the roots that draws the sugar out of the roots and communicates to the trees, I was absolutely fascinated.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, pretty amazing. One of the introductions, in the introductory part of the book, and it alludes to that in the article that you read, trees actually feed each other in a forest. Their root systems are interconnected, and they'll actually share the sugars that they manufacture in photosynthesis. And if they have a favorite tree in their neighborhood, they will keep that tree alive even after it's been cut down. And when the author of the article was wandering through the forest, he saw these, he thought they were boulders. And he scuffed one of the boulders, and he realized it was green underneath. And he realized it was from a tree that had been cut down 400 or 500 years previously. But the neighboring tree's roots had kept that tree alive for 400 or 500 years.
In the article, it talks of a mother tree that decides which trees in the community it is going to give preferential treatment to.
Correct.
And which ones it allows to grow and reach for the sun. And I was just blown away.
Yeah, another thing they've discovered is that trees will actually sit and wait for there to be an opening in the light. And so what happens is when a tree falls down, the neighboring trees begin to grow. And it may take hundreds of years for a tree to wait and stay small till the neighboring tree falls down.
Dormant, dormant, dormant,
exactly.
Dormant.
Now's my chance. So it's
boom, baby!
So when you're looking at rings in the tree, a lot of times, what I was taught was that you could always tell when there was a drought because they were real close to each other. So there's little growth, little growth, little growth. And then this was a wet season because the rings were wider. But it could be that another one fell and there's more light. It could be more than just drought, that is the reason the tree's growing or staying dormant.
And then there's a
you're shaking your head, yes. For everyone that can't see you.
Well, in the article in the Smithsonian magazine, there was a section there where they talked about the tree actually knows the difference between whether a deer bites on the
leaf
or and whether a person breaks the branch. Yes.
And then its reaction is to different. That based on, Romy, there's a tree that has a problem fighting these maggots. And when the maggots start eating the tree, it starts effusing a chemical that attracts these wasps that then attack the worms, plant their seeds inside the worm, the eggs hatch, and eat the worm from the inside out.
So
who can make this stuff up? And then the tree in Africa that communicates to each other when the giraffe started eating on it. A giraffe has to eat upwind because its favorite food is a particular tree that when it starts getting eaten, sends an odor into the air that's detected by the other trees that then start secreting a poison into their limbs and leaves. So that giraffe has to eat upwind because everything downwind is just turned to poison.
How does the giraffe know that?
Well, I imagine they learned the hard way.
Well, I would say the importance of this article and how it relates to our communities and our residential landscapes is that the trees are one part of the landscape. There's shrubs, there's plants, there's a lot of ecosystem going on there, and there's microclimates that are developed within it, and they all kind of live as a group. And so keeping our trees healthy, we need to keep the environment all around the landscapes healthy.
I think this really complicates, and I've heard John field this question many, many times. I have eight, name your species. I have eight trees on my lot, all lined up in a row. They all get fertilized the same. They all get watered the same. They all get treated the same. They listen to the same music. I talk to them all in the same tone of voice, and one just won't live.
And this complicates this whole time, all we can say now is, well, that tree must be the booger eater, and he's getting bullied by the other big trees.
Many times there's root issues. A lot of our container-grown trees have circling roots, and if there's one that just doesn't grow, it might be planted too deep. That usually stunts trees. Or, circling roots will be something that we need to go in and correct, and then they just take off and flourish.
Well, I want to talk more about this article, but I don't want to hog the whole tree hour. We've got people lining up on hold. If you want to talk trees, give us a ring at 1-888-767-4348. Do you want to take your first caller?
I do, but Rick's got something.
Yeah,
here.
Wanted to. We haven't mentioned the name of the book. So the book is The Hidden Life of Trees: What They Feel and How They Communicate. And the author is, I believe he's from Austria. His name is Peter Wohleben. So the title of the book is The Hidden Life of Trees.
And I saw the article. I thought, well, what kind of whack-a-doodle is this? the tree whisperer, But you start reading it, you think, wow.
The first thing I thought of when I saw that article was there was some strange group in the Carolinas somewhere.
Gone soft in the head.
Tree people, and they go out in there and they cry over trees and plants. And I tried to find a clip to start it, but the audio from YouTube, it's so screechy. I thought, oh, this is just going to be way too painful early Saturday morning to start with. But if you need a sick laugh, just Google hippies crying over trees and knock yourself out. Let's get to our callers before we get to our talking tree calendar and our tree of the month, because they've lined up and we're here first and foremost for the Arizona homeowners, starting with John in Mesa. Welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you doing this morning?
Very good, thank you.
I've got a lipo pine, and it's been looking kind of shaky for a while, and I called in last year, and he told me to just keep deep watering it once a month. Well, it's still partly green, and I had a guy come by. He said he was a tree guy, and he looked at my tree, and he showed me there was all kinds of holes in the side. He said they were boar beetles. He determined that it would need like 11 injections, and he told me that could be as much as $175 to $200. I said, well, is there any kind of guarantee? No, they're not really. So I'm wondering from, I'm asking you, what are the chances after you get these injections that the tree is going to live?
Well, you've picked a great Saturday to call in. I think Sarah's probably the most qualified person I know to answer that question. Go ahead.
Well, the truth is Rick and I have worked together with John and many other arborists in the valley trying to determine what's going on with our Aleppo pines. And the truth is we really think that it's based in environmental conditions to start with, our extreme temperatures in the summer, lack of deep waters. We've not had good rains. Really put the trees in a position of being stressed. And other things seem to come in at that point. We have had lots of different diagnoses, and we send lab samples off and try to determine exactly what's going on with the trees. We have positive identification of diplodia in a few trees. We've had fusarium. We've had phytophthora. But we're finding now a secondary mites and also flathead borers. The trees become susceptible to both of those things. And flathead borers can really just shut down a tree very quickly.
And so the solution, do we have one? We're still in the development of how to handle that.
Well, actually, the consensus of the leading arborists in Arizona is that, like Sarah said, it is environmentally caused condition. There's a term in forestry called Mannion's spiral of decline. And basically, it's too hot here, it's too dry here. We have salinity, we have pH. Those abiotic factors cause stress. When you were told by your arborist that you needed to inject the tree, that's a questionable procedure, and there are differing opinions. Many arborists contend that by the time you see holes in the tree, and as Sarah alluded to, perhaps flathead borers, the damage has already been done. Now, up in the higher elevations, there's a bark beetle. Those are dendrocnous beetles. We have not found those in Maricopa County yet. They have been found in Pima County, and there's an associated fungus disease called a blue stain fungus that's transmitted by that particular species of beetle. So
plant a different tree is what you're saying.
Well, the protocol, my motto is happy roots makes happy shoots. And like Sarah alluded to earlier, the key is to try and make the tree respond with its own natural immune system to make it happier and healthier. So deep watering helps. The general opinion of most arborists is that the Aleppo pine blight trees that are suffering will reverse their condition, but giving it deep watering and or injecting plant growth regulators or nutrient solutions into the root system is as good or not better of a protocol than injecting the tree with miticides.